What is your position with Bike Friendly Kalamazoo?
I'm the informal organizer. Bike Friendly Kalamazoo was started in 2011 when a group of citizens got together and tried to figure out, well, in these tough economic times, how can we use what we already have in order to, oh, enhance the community's reputation further? And the people in the room were people like Steve Stepek from the Kalamazoo Area Transportation Study, Chris Barnes from the City of Kalamazoo, then city engineer, Joanna Johnson, head of the Kalamazoo County Road Commission, and some other real interested people like Tom George, the former senator from Michigan. We focused on using what we'd already paid for, namely the roads, as a way to enhance the bike-friendly reputation of the area. As everybody knows, even back then, there was a very active trail movement. So over time, the network grew to include a group of community stakeholders representing a wide variety of interests, from philanthropic interests, parks, commissions, people who are in positions of authority over the roads, the engineers, civil authorities, but also all the local bike clubs and shops who cared to participate. So it's quite a wide group of stakeholders that are represented by Bike Friendly Kalamazoo. And yeah, so I'm the informal organizer of it. But everybody in the organization is acting independently to further bike-related interests as it makes sense for their organizations, without a central command and control type of approach. We're just sharing ideas, and everybody is using them as they see best and are inspired as it fits their priorities.
So for people who haven't heard of Bike Friendly Kalamazoo and are wondering where it fits into the ecology of local groups interested in bicycling, what would you say the group's role is in a nutshell?
To serve as a coalition and a way to get people's voices together and get their opinions shared so that a common set of interests can emerge that we can focus on from a tangible point of view to make a difference. An example would be our local focus on a network of bicycle routes. That's our focus this year, along with educational and awareness building goals. Another point of focus, for example, anyone could see what the website looks like at www.bikefriendlykalamazoo.org. So going there, you get an immediate sense of what we're all about. It's a placemaking effort on behalf of many, many groups.
And when you say placemaking, what do you mean?
Yeah, it's a common term people are using nowadays to reflect how a community can share some of its values and express them in a way that elevates the community as a whole in a variety of ways. It could be through infrastructure, such as improved bike facilities in our case, or it could be something more human, like a set of bike camps for kids, or the helmet fitting program that we participate in. And some of our stakeholders are very active in, like Deb Carpenter of Bronson. So it's a wide variety of interests working in an organic way, I would say.
Bike friendly could mean a lot of things. It's a wide term. What do you picture when you think of bike friendliness?
Well, you can take it from its almost most obvious common folk ways of looking at the word friendly and all that implies. It means that people are courteous to each other when they pass each other on the street. They share the road. If we're talking about the bike-friendly way to express that idea, we're talking about people waving to each other when someone has shared a courtesy, like holding back from an intersection when they see a bicycle approaching. They don't need to plow right into the bike lane and block the bicyclist's passage. And bicyclists can express that by doing things like riding with traffic and using turn signals, or in the case of that may make a lot of motorists angry, using the symbol for braking and slowing down so that people waiting at an intersection aren't confused. Is this bicyclist going to run the intersection if there's a stop sign or a red light? I mean, that's a scary situation for everybody. So we can be friendly in a lot of ways by being courteous, following the rules of the road, and also by doing things like teaching our children how to ride safely. The things that I'm mentioning may be obvious, but when they're all put together, they form this bundle called making the community even more bicycle friendly, or placemaking. I want to emphasize this too. We recognize that bicycles are a component of what makes a community livable and improves the quality of life. And there are many other aspects of that that many other people who are concerned about the community are working on. Building medical schools is another way to do this. Going to medical school is another way to do this. So in doing what you're doing today by sharing information with others and making it accessible to others and just raising awareness is also a part of all of that. People talking to each other and helping each other do better.
Okay, so it sounds like it starts with attitudes, just how people treat each other on the road. And that would sort of imply that maybe sometimes bicyclists and motorists and others on the road have a little bit of hostility that they need to work out, or that misunderstandings can arise.
Well, they do. And that's, I want to say, the dark side of bicycling, if you will, and it's hard to say what makes a person so angry at a bicyclist. Sometimes it may be that they're in a hurry to get somewhere and they resent anything whatsoever, even a red light, which maybe they clip, maybe a stop sign, which maybe the motorist doesn't stop completely for. This is something we are all aware of nowadays. It's kind of a crazy world out there. But for a bicyclist, they're going to lose in an encounter with a 2,000-pound vehicle, a 4,000-pound vehicle. An incident happened to me just the other day when I was in the right-of-way and riding responsibly. A motorist got angry that I was slowing down for an upcoming traffic signal. The motorist was behind me. It happened to be a she, and she, so I'll say she, drove around me very quickly and put on her brakes well before the intersection. And the first time that happened, it felt like, okay, maybe a mistake has been made, but she did it twice. And she did it when I was fairly close because I was coming up behind her to an intersection slowing down. So I actually pulled up next to her and I asked her, were you trying to hurt me there? And she said, well, you're just holding up traffic. Now, there are ways to express that sentiment in a fashion that doesn't result in someone's death or injury. And if I could reach out to that person right now through the airwaves, I'd ask her to think about what she's doing, because a bicycling accident with a motor vehicle ruins more than just one life.
And it seems like friendliness and openness is an issue there, and also it raises the legal aspect of a bicyclist's right to share the road.
And as a matter of fact, as most motorists now know, through increased awareness building, bicyclists were otherwise prohibited, of course not on the interstates, and some cities don't let them ride on sidewalks and places. But bicyclists and motorists have the same rights, rules, and responsibilities.
Right. Yeah, and it seems like, well, like you said, more motorists do seem to know that now, but maybe not all of them. And I have to say, I have heard some drivers say that they get frustrated with people on bikes who themselves run lights or run stop signs or, as you said, act unpredictably in a way that, you know, isn't very friendly to the driver who might be well-intentioned and not want to hit someone on a bike.
Absolutely. In fact, you know, it's not a one-way street here, metaphorically speaking. Bicyclists have the same rights, but they also have the same responsibilities. And some of those responsibilities are special. They're reserved for bicyclists. Two of the most commonly misunderstood rules of the road for bicyclists are that bicyclists must ride as close to the right-hand side of the road as is practicable. Now, that's the word of the law, that long word, practicable. But what it really means is, and how it's been interpreted, is that bicyclists do not need to ride in the shoulder. That even motorists don't like to ride there. Frequently, there's debris, sticks, that kind of thing that can really injure a person if they hit them wrong or swerve out of the way to avoid something into the lane of traffic. So aside from that, bicyclists may be in the lane of traffic, but they should ride, they must ride, as close to the right as practicable. Now, that also implies a safety issue. For example, a bicyclist riding too far to the right may encourage, on a narrow road, motorists to pass them in an unsafe manner or at too close of a distance. Or it may encourage a bicyclist to ride too closely to cars that are parked, and a car door opening in the path of the bicyclist is very dangerous. So what that really means is that if a bicyclist, in their judgment, believes they cannot ride hugging the shoulder, they may ride in the traffic lane. And generally, experts, people who bike commute a lot, and safety experts as well, recommend in that case you ride in the first 3 feet or so of that curb, not hugging the curb, but in essentially where the right tire would be in a four-wheeled vehicle. That's one of the rules. Ride as close to the right as practicable. And the other one is ride no more than two abreast. That's a message that can't be repeated too often. Sometimes bicyclists themselves don't observe that. That probably is one of the most annoying traits that bicyclists riding in groups display. They ride more than two abreast. And that, of course, delays traffic, and that's an annoyance to everybody. I personally find it discourteous to do that. It's not legal either, but I also just find, on a human point of view, it's not courteous to do that when you can follow the rules and let traffic flow. Now, on the other hand, life is too short to waste getting angry at bicyclists who don't know the rules. People like me are trying, as you can see, to educate bicyclists in what the rules of the road are. We can't reach everybody. And unfortunately, some of the bicyclists who are most dependent on a bicycle for their only means of transportation are those we cannot reach. These are the people you see riding without a helmet, riding the wrong way, and riding unpredictably in traffic. Motorists, you know as well as I do that you should keep away from bicycles. Give bicyclists like that as much room as possible. They're, you don't know what's going to happen. So in that case, I'd say everybody has an obligation to use their common sense and good judgment.
I'm curious to ask about passing practices when you're in a car and you're passing a bicycle. For example, on Oakland here in Kalamazoo, I'll sometimes see that there will be a cyclist in the bike lane, since Oakland has a bike lane. But maybe that cyclist is riding closer to the road. I think the bike lane is still getting cleaned up from the winter. And I see people, they'll sort of, I think they fudge it a little bit. They want to give the bike some room. They also maybe, you know, don't want to stay behind it. And so they'll kind of, they'll get into the middle lane a little bit. That's for turning, just for a moment. I'm wondering, when you're riding, are there passing practices that, you know, maybe they're not quite to the letter of the law, but they give the bike enough room, nobody's in the lane. I'm just wondering how much you can fudge it, I guess.
Well, that's a good question. And there is gray area, as you're mentioning right now through these examples. I think as the trend of bicycling is growing, there's going to be a learning process on the part of legislators and on the part of drivers and bicyclists themselves, how much should you allow for passing? In a recent public safety video that MDOT put out, they recommend 3 to 5 feet. Now, common sense says if you need to take a little bit of the passing lane to do that and no one is in the passing lane, go ahead. That's legal anyway. It's a passing lane. If it is a turn lane, yes, technically, I suppose you're not supposed to use that for through traffic. But if no one's in it and it looks safe, then no one's going to get a ticket unless there's an accident for giving the bicyclist more room. Now, I don't know. The story of the Good Samaritan means a lot to me personally. I like to show people extra courtesy. I'm not always riding my bike. When I'm in a vehicle, I like to show drivers of all kinds, whether they're motorized or non-motorized vehicles, all kinds of courtesies. I think it's safer that way to do that. The way I treat a bicyclist as if they were a slow-moving farm vehicle or a letter carrier's truck. Now, I wouldn't go up behind a postal service employee's truck and slam on my brakes or jam on my horn and say, hurry up. I know better. I know they've got a job to do and they need to take some of the roadway to do that. Same with a tractor or one of these huge sprayer vehicles that loom over cars in the rural areas. You're not going to try to drive between the wheels of that sprayer, even though you could fit. You're not going to try to blow your horn and tell them to get off the road. They have no room. So common sense, common courtesy, and a little bit of positive value will go a long way to making the area more bicycle friendly.
So, now I want to talk about the infrastructure side of this. There's this attitude component, the more literal side of bike friendly, just being friendly, giving people the benefit of the doubt. But as you said, there's also a component of this that's roads and what's available to cyclists and how can you get around known bike routes that have been published. And so maybe you could speak to that side of the bike-friendly issue.
Well, this is a good segue into something that we presented to the community last Wednesday in a meeting with MDOT, the Kalamazoo Area Transportation Study, the supervisor of Kalamazoo Township, the director of transportation and utilities at the city of Portage. All of those folks, including myself, were presenting an unveiling of a metropolitan planning organization-wide bike route network. It's in its preliminary form. Our volunteers have been working on this for the past 2 years, very diligently. The individual point-to-point routes in their draft form are available for anyone to view on our website. They will look like links to other places where they're stored. An example might be from Portage to Texas Township, or Texas Township to Kalamazoo, or KVCC's Texas Township campus to their downtown area. So the network is in its preliminary stages, and that will, when it's finally, when the jurisdictions involved approve each section and put the signs on, it will look like a set of bike route signs, the green and white signs that go from one end of Kalamazoo County, let's say Augusta, to the other. In the Metropolitan Planning Organization, which now includes parts of Van Buren County. So from Paw Paw to Augusta, from Alamo down to Schoolcraft, there is going to be a bike route network as the jurisdictions approve the various sections. So it's not an overnight process. The signs themselves aren't expensive. The interest in putting them up so that bicyclists know the preferred routes and so that motorists become more aware will vary by community to community. But I think we're going to see some leadership, especially in the communities that are already active in bike route construction. The city of Kalamazoo is a leader in that. The city of Portage is a leader in bike way, bike route, bike lane, bike path construction. Members of the Friends of the Kalamazoo River Valley Trail are also involved in constructing these bike routes. It's a great way to get from one place that doesn't have a trail connection to the trail itself. So we're all working together on this, and it'll be unfolding, as you say, in the form of infrastructure over the next few years. I think the most obvious examples of infrastructure are shared use paths, as they're technically known by MDOT, and those are the trails that we're familiar with. The Kalamazoo River Valley Trail, wonderful resource in the community. It's being extended from Galesburg to Comstock, or vice versa, Comstock to Galesburg this coming year. So it's almost touching Calhoun County, not quite. Once the Galesburg connection is complete, there'll be another one out to Augusta, and then finally out to the Battle Creek Trail system. So another example is what Texas Township is doing. They're not only widening shoulders for some of the shoulders on their regular roads, to accommodate all kinds of non-motorized users and to improve the roads, but they're also funding trails that will be built alongside some of the roads, side paths, they're also called. And so Texas Township is a leader in that. The Oshtemo Township is doing wonderful things with their non-motorized plan, as is Kalamazoo Township. There's a growing interest in this on the part of the entire community as a way to elevate what we have to offer those who may be interested in living, working, and playing here.
Do you have a vision, an ideal vision, if you had your druthers and you controlled all the aspects of this, of what you would like to see in Kalamazoo and the surrounding area in terms of making it that much easier to ride a bike to get where you're going?
Well, it would be a combination of things, really. It would be, if I could wave the magic wand, it would be on the awareness building front, that everybody would be aware of the rules of the road that we're talking about. On the education front, it would be that everybody who is a motorist and everybody who's a bicyclist knows how to use the roads responsibly. And even if you're a child on a bicycle only using the sidewalks, you still have to be aware of things like, how should you pass pedestrians? Who has the right of way in an encounter between a 7-year-old child on a bicycle and a 10-year-old child who's walking, or a 3-year-old child who's walking? Those at the basic level are things that even children need to know about bike education. So my vision is for the schools to at least include some component of bicycle safety awareness and education in their curriculum, whether it's a formally built-in part of the school day or an after-school activity, or perhaps the conferences. It's been so long since I've been in school. When you
a parent-teacher conference.
Parent-teacher conference. It could be any vehicle that the message could get across would be appropriate. Churches, civic organizations, libraries. If libraries could host bicycle awareness days, that would be great, even if it was done through storytelling. There are a lot of imaginative ways to get the message across. And then physically, the network of bike routes, trails, and paths, this would be a wonderful thing for our community to get behind. And not just for a soft sake, such as, I don't know if public safety is such a soft message or not, but for the economic reasons as well. We need to be able to keep the people who are going to make this community what it is in the future. And we need to attract that kind of person as well. And nowadays, that person tends to be more highly educated, and they're very interested in fitness. They're very interested in the environment and ways to preserve it. They're very interested in exploring other ways of transportation other than a motor vehicle, although frequently most people will use both. We can accept that. But some people who move into cities just don't want to have a car, and they don't want the hassle, they don't want the storage, they don't want the expense. And if they're living in a city and working in a city, they can get from place to place either by walking or bicycling. And that can improve a city's livability. So for a wide variety of reasons and in a wide variety of ways, I think we can see this vision unfold in a very friendly manner in our community.
Paul, is there anything you'd like to add?
Well, you've really helped us explore all the main points, I think, that goes along with this. You know, the topic of bicycling has so many aspects. We could be just as well talking about, gee, it's rainy outside. What kind of bicycle fenders should I have? Well, for discussions like that, you might want to go to your local bike shops who are very expert in advising their customers about things like this. Or what type of bike should I get if I really want to ride the Cal Haven Trail? That's my goal this year. As a lot of people who set goals for themselves sometimes do set that as a particular goal, as I did when I was getting back into bicycles. Long story short, it's a big topic. Love to talk with you again in the future about anything that interests you related to it.
Paul Seldon of Bike Friendly Kalamazoo, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thanks, Sevilla. My pleasure.